All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Buddy Huggins, and yes, that's right. We're coming to you on Light Ghost Talk Radio, Mid-South Wrestling Memories Radio Talk Show, and I've got a living legend on the phone, and I tell you, we're going to get right on to it, and let me just give you an idea who this fella is. This fella is known as Pork Chop Cash. Mr. Pork Chop?
Yes, sir. This is me.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
Wonderful. I'm glad to finally get to talk to you. I've seen you for years and years through the Mid-South, Leroy McGirt, Bill Watts territory. Growing up as a young man, I've seen you come through Greenwood, Greenville. And as I tell you, it's an honor to get you on my radio talk show and get you a little bit of a history of where you came from and what you're doing today.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure to be on your talk show. And I'm looking forward to maybe one day is meeting you face to face.
Well, that can very well happen. We happen to know a lot of people here in Mississippi that I have some of the same friends that you have, Reverend Heavenly Love. We refer to him as Brother Love.
Brother Love. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine. And like I said, maybe we can get together and go have a little snack or whatever and get to know one another. But, you know, I like to say hello to the people out there who have listened to your show. I am the man, Pork Chop Cash.
That's right. And you have so much history. Been there, did that, done that kind of thing. You started wrestling. Go ahead and tell us the history of how you got involved in professional wrestling and when it was and what that era of wrestling was like.
Okay. I started in 1974 in Washington, D.C. That's my home. I started for the old man, Vince McMahon. He the one started me off. Then I went from New York to Atlanta, Georgia. And from Atlanta, Georgia to Mid-South Wrestling in Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas for Leroy McGirt.
Goodness sakes. Goodness sakes. How did you get the name Pork Chop Cash?
Well, I was in I had went to California just for like a couple of weeks. And the promoter after he asked me, do you like pork chop? I said, yes, I love pork chop. I said, I like pork chop and rice, fried pork chop, you name it, any kind of way. He said, you know what I'm saying? That name fits you. He said, forget about Bobby Cash, Pork Chop Cash. And I made that name a household word.
Yes, you did. And I tell you, a lot of people that I talked to. I talked to Gary Hart just the other day. I talked to Skandar Akbar in the last week or so. And all of the people that I talked to, they always get around to your name. And I tell you, you left a mark on a lot of folks in more than one way.
I'm glad I did because, you know, back then, when I was coming into wrestling, I mean, guys respect you when you went out there and you know what you was doing. You knew how to wrestle. I mean, you got a lot of respect from the other wrestlers. Say, hey, that guy can wrestle. And that's what I learned to do, you know?
Well, you had to know how back in them days because a man would shoot on you in a minute.
Ooh, yeah. I have you crying. But, you know, but I could protect myself because I could wrestle. And that's the name of the sport, is wrestling.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to, you know, bring back is the old school, old style mentality where two people get in the ring and they hook it up. And I guess you were familiar with that phrase from Bill Watts.
Right.
What was it like working with Bill Watts?
Now, Bill Watts was the type of guy, if you went out there and wrestle, give him a good wrestling match, man, when you come back, he pat you on the shoulder. Say, what a match you had. But if you go out there, he think you didn't did 100%, he would ride your back just like a guy ride a bucking bronc in the saddle. I mean, he would ride you and ride you and ride you until you did it right.
And you know there was a reason for that.
That's
but
it.
There was a, because that was the formula.
That's right.
For years and years.
That's
and
right.
It came from Bill Watts knowing how to wrestle.
Right.
And already had been there, did that, done that,
right.
went to New York, wrestled in Madison Square Garden,
mm-hmm.
and he knew what it took to get those fans and to come back week after week. Tell us about some of the big houses that you guys used to pull.
I mean, right there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we had to wrestle at the fairground, at the big old auditorium. We used to sell it out week after week, like 20,000 people. It don't sound like a lot now, but back then, 20,000 people was a lot of people, and I was there.
How big were some of your TV tapings at the Irish, what they call it, the Irish Boy?
Right.
Boys Club?
Right. I mean,
what was that building like to be, to go there and actually do a TV taping there?
Oh, man, it was like fantastic. It was like, to me, it was almost like going to Madison Square Garden. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It was the mecca of the Leroy McGirt, Bill
right.
Watts empire kind of thing?
Right, right. I mean, that's what he lived for. He lived for that moment when we come there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like now, guys just waiting to go to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
When you
got there, you know you was
right.
You was where the money was.
Right.
And I talked to a lot of different Buddy Landell. I talked to him, and he was telling me the money was good.
That's it.
But he paid. Let me mention this. He came in maybe before you.
Buddy Landell?
Did he come in before you or after you?
I think Buddy came in after I did.
Buddy,
I know
Buddy told me, he said he put the ring up for a year, rode in the back of the truck for the first 6 months. That's how he paid his dues.
Well, okay, when I first started around New York, I refereed, and like he said, referee helped put up the ring, did whatever I had to do.
Under Vince Senior?
Right.
Now, how was he to work for?
Now, the old man was fantastic to work for. He believed, you know. Now, if the old man could see what's going over now, he'll probably turn over.
He'd have a fit, wouldn't he?
Oh, man. I mean, that's not his style.
Yeah. Well, when did you ever see Little Vince Jr.?
Yeah. When I was getting ready to leave to go to Atlanta, the old man had brought him on the scene about 3 or 4 months before I got ready to leave New York and went to Atlanta.
What year was that?
This was in 1974.
1974, so Vince had to be mighty young.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't in the business then.
Mm-hmm.
The old man was just starting to bring him around. He was doing like interview.
Commentator.
Mm-hmm. Commentator on the TV, you know.
Yes.
But he wasn't a big man like he is now.
He runs the show now.
He runs it now, yeah.
Either you work for him or you work for nobody.
That's right. If you don't work for him, you don't work for nobody else.
Mm. What do you, once you, I don't want to jump ahead, but in the South, it had to be a difference going from New York to Atlanta and then from Atlanta to Mid-South. And then being able to work under Leroy McGirt and Bill Watts. And were you ever in the world-class area around the Von Erichs and Paul Bosch in Houston, Texas?
No, never got to work for none of them. But I met a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I worked from Leroy McGirt, Bill Watts, George Corkin. I worked through the Mid-South down here. But I never got to work for Dallas.
How was George Corkin to work for?
Oh, it was fantastic. He was great. He was great to work for.
He knew how to do it too, didn't he?
Yes. And he expected, he said, look, you guys are professionals. That's what you are. And you go out there and you do your job right. And that's what he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And he actually was a wrestler in his younger days.
Right. He was. He was. And tell me, he was a pistol in his young days, you know.
Yeah, I've actually talked to him. I haven't yet interviewed him, but I've got to get that here in the next couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'd tell you someone that I did interview that brought your name up was Jack Curtis.
Yeah, I know Jack Curtis very well.
Jack Curtis Jr., I should say.
Jack Curtis Jr., and he got a store in Vicksburg
right.
called Captain Jack.
Right. Started wrestling in 1953 and told me the story that he had a hand in training a legendary wrestler, Danny Hodge.
Oh, man. Now you know, that is a legend right there, Danny Hodge.
Yes.
You know, that's a legend right there. But, you know, since you said you're talking to about Jack Curtis, you know, I was telling Jack Curtis what I would like to do is open up a wrestling school, you know? And he said, you know what I'm saying? He said, a lot of guys talk about it, but he said, I ain't never known that the guys did about it, you know? But, you know, that's what I like to do. That's what I would like to do, you know?
Well, don't you actually have a phone number and you're actually taking applications for that school right now in Mississippi?
Yes, and I will give it to you right now.
Go ahead.
So if there anybody wants to be trained for professional wrestling, I am the man, Pork Chop Cash. I am a professional wrestler. These backyard wrestling guys say they can train you. Look, you got to be trained by the best. You got to be trained by a guy know what he's doing.
Old school
that
style.
Was my profession,
mm-hmm.
wrestling. And look, if anybody wants to be a professional wrestler, you call me, Eric O, 601-354-5540. And later on, I'll give you that number again so you can call me. I am the man to train you how to wrestle.
Well, I tell you, I agree totally with you because of the people and the places and just the knowledge of being in and out of the ring as many years as you had and wrestling for Bill Watts. That means the world right there, because if you couldn't have done it, Bill Watts wouldn't have had anything to do with you. And he, like you said, he rode you. If you made a mistake, he rode you till you got it right.
That's right.
And that's what you can teach these young kids. So Buddy Huggins is going to endorse Pork Chop Cash Wrestling School in Mississippi. And I'll put that up on the internet. And you'll have a place on my internet. We'll have pictures up of Pork Chop Cash. I try to get the different pictures of the ear that and even a modern picture of you also when we do meet in person. But I will tell you there is, and we alluded to this in a private conversation, but there is a lot of no account type wrestling schools, and Gary Hart alluded to that just yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That that is a lot of what has killed independent wrestling around the country, is that a guy that can't train people actually train them to take their money,
right,
and then puts them out on the independent scene. They get out there with a pro, and a pro goes to do a move, and then next thing you know, they have to bust them in the head because they don't know what the heck to do. And then what you have is you have basically something that looks bad.
Okay.
And that's what's killed independent wrestling for the last 10, 15 years. We got to get back to control over these young guys who wrestles and how they wrestle.
Right.
And we only want to put trained, qualified professional wrestlers in the wrestling ring at any point.
Right.
Anywhere.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get back to wrestling right now, and I'm going to call a guy a name, and he was the world champion, Harley Race.
Know him.
Okay. In 1977, I wrestled Harley Race in Jackson, Mississippi for 90 minutes to a draw.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that was unheard of. You going with the world champion, 90 minutes to a draw. I wrestled in Jackson, Mississippi at the Coliseum for 90 minutes.
How big was the crowd?
Was a sellout. They sold out standing room.
Was that on a Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
That's historically what Jackson did. So pretty much sold out during that era every Wednesday night. And Harley Race, at that time, was pretty much at the pinnacle of his career.
That's it.
And for you to go 90 minutes, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to a living legend that can back up what he says. And like I said, you got me endorsing your wrestling school, and I want all the young guys to know that Buddy Huggins only endorses people that can do it. Dory Funk, Harley Race, Skandor Akbar, those are three schools. One's in Florida, Osceola, Dory Funk, Harley Race, and St. Louis, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis, Missouri, and Skandor Akbar in Dallas, Texas. And now I'm endorsing Porkchop Cash in Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson, Mississippi. And you can go ahead and repeat that phone number.
The phone number is area code 601-354-5540. That's my home number. If I'm not home, you can always leave a message. And I always return your phone call as soon as I get back. But you know what I'm saying? This is what I love doing. This is what I did all my life as a wrestler. And I like to teach the other young generation coming along, wants to be a professional wrestler, show him how to wrestle. Show him how to protect himself in case when somebody tries to take the advantage of you in the ring. You know what to do.
And like I said, you have been there, did that, and done it. Some of the people that you know that came through the Mid-South era, like you were talking about, Danny Hodge. Did you ever have the privilege of wrestling Danny Hodge?
I had the privilege of wrestling Danny Hodge one time. And I'm going to tell you, brother, I thought I was great. But Danny Hodge taught me a little things that I didn't know about. And I respected the man. And see, I respected him. And he also returned this respect. He said, you know what I'm saying? He said, you some kind of man. He said, most of the guys couldn't have did what you did and come out the way you came out. He said, I respect you, and shook my hand. And boy, that was a pleasure for Danny Hodge to shake your hand without breaking some bones. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know another gentleman that I know, Ernie Ladd.
Yes, yes, yes. I had a lot of running with Ernie Ladd. I'm going to tell you, Ernie Ladd was a big man. One time, me and Ladd went 60 minutes. That's 1 hour. 60 minutes to a draw. And see, you know,
You had the crowd in the palm of your hand, too, the whole time.
Yes, sir. Ladd was so bigger than I was. I can't go out there and power with the man because he's too much bigger than I was. So what I did, I went out there and take the advantage and wrestled him and wrestling him and wrestling him. When he got short-winded, that's when I made my move. Because I figured go out there and try to throw blows for blows with him. There ain't no way. Big as he is. So I had to use my head. I had to use the skill that I had. And I went out there and wrestled him. And I wrestled to 1 hour to a draw. And the many people can't say they went 1 hour to draw with Ernie Ladd.
Oh no! some of these kids don't even know what 1 hour looks like in
that's
a ring.
What you're talking about.
They can't go because they can't actually physically wrestle much more than 10 minutes, 15
right.
at the most.
Right.
And that's what is missing on TV.
Uh-huh.
And the Bill Watts era of TV was so good. It kept you sitting on your seat, and what it done was it promoted the shows in Greenville, Greenwood, Jackson, Mississippi, close Shreveport, Louisiana.
Because you didn't know what was going to happen. That's why he had you on the edge of your seat. You were just looking to see what's going to happen, what's going to happen. And that happened when you're not expecting it.
And the feuds. The feuds were so real. When Skandor Akbar did what he did and had to wear a bulletproof vest, be police escorted into the Superdome in New Orleans, that was real.
Yes, sir.
Those people really hated him.
Right.
And that, sadly to say, that's what's missing. And people say, well, buddy, you're dreaming if you think it'll ever come back. Well, it may never come back. And I'm a realist. I know this is a modern time and things change, and they change sometimes for the good, sometimes for the better. But what's your opinion on what it is now and what it might be in the future?
Well, what it is now, to me, I don't know. To me, it's not wrestling. It's not wrestling. Now it's mostly like showbiz, you know? And that's what Vince say it is. Showman, you know? Because you rarely see someone see anybody do any wrestling move. But see, that's the name of the sport. Wrestling. You know?
Yeah.
That is the name of the sport, is wrestling.
What do you think about the high-flying extreme aspect where they do the ladders, tables, and chairs? What do you think that's done to the sport?
I think it really hurt the sport. But them guys, to me, they put their life on line because you that far up in the air, you gonna break something. You know,
mm-hmm.
They might have to break their leg, break their ankle. Then they have 3 or 4 months. I mean, why take a chance to do going up on a ladder 20 feet up in the air? Up in the ring, you're another 10 feet. You talk about 30 feet up in the air. You know?
Yeah. It's done got to the point that they just keep going and see how high they can go until.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. And they don't realize that actually that's getting so far away from wrestling
that
they're starting to lose hardcore wrestling fans.
That's right. That's right.
I think we're headed for a down cycle. What do you think?
I think so, too. I mean, how far can you can't go no further. I mean, what else can you do?
A pistol on a pole match.
But to me, I think he's got to come back to the idea of wrestling. That's what I think.
He
got to come back to people, two guys get in the ring and wrestle one another.
It's got to come back to that original format, that original recipe.
Right.
And it's people like you that can get out there and train these kids and show them what wrestling really is at one time. And, you know, people, these younger generation, they find it hard to believe. But at one time, when the Jack Curtises and George Karkin was wrestling in the 40s and 50s, it was real. And
yeah.
People say, well, buddy, it's never been real. But let me tell you, it was real.
Right.
Danny Hodge would stomp a mud hole in you and walk you dry if you did not cooperate.
That's
and
it.
If you made it look bad in front of Bill Watts, well, Bill Watts would, like you say, he would actually physically whoop your butt.
Right.
Harley Race was one of the, Bill Watts gave Harley Race the credit on my radio talk show for being one of the most physical, toughest people that ever walked the earth that wrestled. And he backed up everything he said with real.
Mm.
But then again, there was very, very few fights, you know, actual shoots. They were under control. But that's how you got the cauliflower ears.
Right.
And Ernie Ladd said, buddy, it's a full contact sport.
That's what it is.
Today, they've actually got it to a point that they don't even try to actually contact. And when they do, they're actually coming off a ladder. They're contacting the ring.
Yep. But see, just like I'm saying, you know, hey, them guys like Danny Hodge, Bill Watts, Ernie Ladd, Dusty Rose, Scandal Akbar. I mean, these guys, that's what, back then, that's what they did. They went out there, they wrestled. They was the master of the ring. I mean, when you get in the ring with them guys, you better know what you're doing.
And the gate attendants, city after city, night after night, and company after company, territory after territory, proved that the people were buying it and proved that they were into what you guys were doing.
Yes.
And now you've got huge shows, pay-per-views, but no wrestling in Jackson, Mississippi, no wrestling in Greenville,
yes.
No wrestling in Little Rock, no wrestling in Oklahoma, except my good friend up there, Tom Jones, who you know very well.
Yes. Have you talked to Tom Jones?
I've interviewed Tom and going to get back with him for part two here pretty soon. But Tom has a wrestling school, and I've endorsed his wrestling school in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
So you come from the same formula that Tom Jones came from.
But let me get back to with you with Tom Jones. See, a lot of people don't know, excuse me, me and Tom Jones in Atlanta, Georgia, was the first black world tag team champion that they ever had.
The very first.
The very first. In 1976, me and Tom Jones was the world tag team champion of the world. We was the first black to hold the world tag team champion.
And was that an NWA belt or was that a...
NWA.
NWA. Goodness sakes. Tell me about the lead up to how you got the belt. Who did you have to go against to win that?
Me and Tom Jones went and wrestled the Valiant brother. Jimmy Valiant and his brother. They was the world tag team champion. And me and Tom Jones beat them for the world tag team champion in 1976. And like I said, we was the first black tag team champion of the world in WWE.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm talking to a wrestling living legend, Porkchop Cash, ladies and gentlemen. This man has been there, did it, and done it. And now he's in Jackson, Mississippi with a wrestling school. And if you want to get trained in Mississippi, you've got to give this gentleman a call. He knows what he's talking about. And I tell you, it's a privilege and an honor. We're going to end on this gentleman because yesterday, June the 2nd, 3 years ago,
yes,
this gentleman was coming back from his daughter's graduation in the Carolinas, and he got to Forester, Mississippi, and he fell asleep at the wheel, went off the road, and was tragically killed in that car accident. And this is how Buddy Huggins got involved in professional wrestling, through that tragedy. I'm talking about Sylvester Ritter.
The Junkyard Dog.
Yes, sir.
Everybody know the Junkyard Dog, because people come up asking me now, did you know the Junkyard Dog? I said, yes. Me and Junkyard Dog used to be tag team partners. Junkyard Dog was a household word around Mid-South. Everybody knew it. Like I say, people come up to me right now, do you remember the Junkyard Dog? I said, yes. They said, man, that Junkyard Dog was something. I mean, even little kids, they loved him.
Everybody loved him.
He just was a great guy.
He had all the charisma. He had all the tools. He had that big stump.
Boy, he put that on you, and like the man said, turn off the lights. It's over.
Yeah.
I mean, he put that on you. I mean, hey, case is closed.
Well, Bill Watts told me that he seen something in him, but he had to be honest with him and told him that he didn't quite have all the tools where he needed them, so he sent him to Canada. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
Yeah.
He came in. Bill Watts told him, said, look, you go to Canada, I'll send you there. You stay there as long as you can. I'll bring you back. And that's what he did.
He made a superstar out of him.
He brought it back. He brought him back. And to, hey, he made a superstar. You know what I'm saying? The Junkyard Dog was a legend in his own time. He was a legend. I mean, you couldn't go no place that nobody didn't know him.
Drew money?
Oh, man.
Ernie Ladd said that he drew money.
Yes. I mean, he drew money like all over. Greenville, Greenwood, I mean, any place he went, he drew nothing but money.
Mm.
The Junkyard Dog, he was a personal, good friend of mine.
And a wonderful person.
When I heard about him, I was in Kansas City, Kansas. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. I didn't know, you know, he got killed like that, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was a tragedy.
It was.
And that's what, like I say, started me on my quest for finding out about professional wrestling in the state of Mississippi. I was wondering where had it went. Why wasn't there any independent shows going? And then I found out about the outlaw side of the business.
Right.
Then I found out about the real side of the business.
Right.
And there's two separate entities out there.
Yeah.
They're the people that can't wrestle, that buy boots and get in the ring, and they kill it every time they do a show.
Right.
And I actually got involved in promoting in Mississippi, had some of the most successful shows in the last 10 years, some of the biggest gates. And I just come to a point that I just will not do another show until I can do it 100% right and involve the living legends, people like yourself, Skandar Akbar, this gentleman. I'll say his name, and I know you'll know him, James Harris.
Yes, yes.
He's my good friend.
Yes, yes.
And we'll tell the world who that is in a minute.
Yeah.
But how big is he?
Oh, man.
6'8"?
Stuff like that.
360 pounds.
350, 360.
Mhm.
And that's a big old man.
From Uganda.
That's it. That's
we're talking. Tell them who we're talking about.
We talk about Kamala.
There you go.
I mean, that guy is a giant.
And I've become a good friend of his in the last 3 months. He went to since I've been talking to him, he got the call from Vince McMahon and went and did WrestleMania.
Right.
The first match he'd been in since 1995.
Oh.
Since then, he did a show with Booker T and Stevie Ray in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
That was just last weekend.
Right.
And this next weekend, the 15th, he's doing a show in Memphis with the Jerry Lawler, and they're doing a Mid-South Memories show up there at the Mid-South Coliseum.
Okay, look, right there, I'm going to be on that show, too.
Oh, well, that's all right. Let's tell everybody. Hey, I did not know that. You're
I'm
on that show.
I'm going to be on that show on the 15th.
In Memphis, Tennessee.
At Memphis, Tennessee, at the Coliseum.
Now, folks, you can go to Memphis and see Porkchop Cash himself, get his autograph, get a picture with him, and you've taken a picture with a wrestling living legend, Porkchop Cash will be on the Legend Show. Hey, that's
sure
news
is
to Buddy Huggins, but I'll shout it to the world.
Okay.
I will be in Corinth that night.
You'll be in Corinth.
I'll be working with the Mid-South Developmental Group of WWF.
Uh-huh.
I've got to get interviews with the WWF superstars. I interview the young guys.
Uh-huh.
And I also interview the legends.
Right.
But I'd be honest, I'd rather be at the Mid-South Coliseum. But obligated-wise, I've got to be in Corinth with the WWF.
Right.
Because I'm trying to really get that job with the WWF. Like I said at the beginning, either you work for Vince McMahon
right.
or you won't.
So you don't work it out.
Or you don't work it out. Or you end up doing the Legends Show and pray and hope you have a wonderful turnout, a wonderful
right.
crowd.
Yes.
And look, main thing is nobody get hurt.
Definitely.
Everybody enjoy the show.
Right.
You tell all the guys that Buddy Huggins is trying his best to do the right thing about the business, about getting the history down,
right.
and then about getting these guys that need to be trained so we can actually
right.
figure out a way in the next 5 years to get wrestling back in the state of Mississippi so when we do a show in Greenville, Mississippi, Greenwood, Mississippi, and Jackson, Mississippi, we actually have a crowd.
Right, right.
Actually have a crowd.
Yes.
Instead of go there in front of 30 people.
Boy, that's But you know, I like to say all you know, I like to say hello to all my friends around Greenwood, Mississippi. I had a lot of friends around Greenwood, Mississippi. But this is Porkchop Cash. This is the legend. I am the man. You know, and I want to say, like I say, I want to say hello to the people around Greenwood, because the people around Greenwood, Mississippi, they were fantastic to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they treat me like a king.
Well, I've got a radio show that goes out live every Thursday and every Friday on WGNL. It's 104.3 on FM dial.
Uh-huh.
It's a black-owned radio station.
Uh-huh.
It reaches 35,000 to 60,000 people
All
in
right.
17 counties. What I'm going to do is extend you the invitation one of these Thursdays and Fridays at 6 o'clock. You
uh-huh.
and I hook up and I'll put you on the air live so you can tell that to a wrestling audience of fans that remember the Sportatorium in Greenwood.
Right.
And remember Porkchop Cash.
Okay.
And we'll recognize your voice. I can guarantee that. And you'll be able to do that hopefully here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to follow this interview up, folks. I made a deal with Porkchop Cash to do this interview tonight and to consent to two more lengthy interviews about specific stories about the history of professional wrestling. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, was to get to know each other, to let Porkchop Cash get to know Buddy Huggins, and for Buddy Huggins to get to know Porkchop Cash. and the two shows that we've got coming up, we will get more into the history and more into the actual nuts and bolts of how the wrestling in the South was done, and the stories that you want to hear about, you know, some of the behind the scenes stuff, some of the stuff on the way to the dressing room, some of the stuff on the way to the shows, that kind of thing. And Porkchop, I really appreciate you doing this show tonight, and thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show. But like I say, these young guys out there, you want to become a professional wrestler, call me. Area code 601-354-5540. I'll show you how to become a professional wrestler. See, nobody can, a guy can't wrestle, can show you how to wrestle. How can he show you he can't wrestle? I did this all of my life. I am a professional wrestler. That's what it's all about, professional wrestling.
There you go. You got to learn, ladies and gentlemen, the kids that want to do this, you young guys that want to do this as a business, take this thing real. You've got to learn from a living legend. You've got to learn from someone. And I'll tell you like it is. You can start right there with Porkchop Cash and then carry it to Dory Funk in Ocala, Florida, and then go from there to Harley Race, then go from there to Texas. The more, there's different styles,
right?
But the more rounded you are as a professional, and if you've got it, if you got the heart and you got the ability, you can get that shot.
That's it.
But it's a few and far in between that makes it to the actual big, big show. And we know we're all going to tell you, it ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
But if you sit on the couch, you ain't never going to get it done.
That's right.
Well, Porkchop, we're going to endorse your school. I'm going to build a website on my site, you know, get the pictures, put it up. And this is part one. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned in the month to come for part two and part three, exclusive only on the Buddy Huggins Mid-South Wrestling Memory Radio Show, Porkchop Cash.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. We all?
Yes.
Okay, look.
Hang on.